The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, a statistic that we've mentioned before on the show, and it's a very stark statistic. 7 times more traveller men and 6 times more traveller women take their own lives through suicide compared to the general population. And that's figures that were gathered by the National Traveller Mental Health Network. Representatives from traveller advocate groups appeared before TDs and senators today to highlight this as part of Mental Health Awareness Week. And Thomas McCann is a member of the travelling community and he's director of the Traveller Counselling Service, who addressed the Oireachtas Joint Committee on key issues earlier on today. And he joins us in studio. How are you doing, Thomas?
Not too bad.
Had you addressed a government committee before?
Yeah, I did. It was there was an all-party committee on mental health, future mental health in Ireland, which did a report and had recommendations in it. And so we did a presentation to them and a submission to them in the past. That's about 6 or 7 months ago.
Is it a nerve-wracking thing to do?
It is, yeah, it is. And, going into any situation where there's a number of people kind of that you're presenting to and they're going to question you about stuff is nerve-wracking. Yeah. But going into an Oireachtas committee is a bit more, you know.
And of course, you're representing your community as well on a very serious issue.
Yeah, it's and you don't know what questions you're going to be asked. But I have to say, the committee was very supportive.
You're at the coalface, so you're hearing the concerns and worries and anxieties of the travelling community firsthand.
Yeah, and I mean, like it is a national issue. I mean, you were saying there about the figures. You know, a number of studies at this stage has shown that it's across nearly every traveller family in Ireland is affected by suicide and mental health. And if you go anywhere around the country, I mean, if you went out now and kind of went somewhere and there was a group of travellers in the room and you asked how many is affected by suicide, most of the people in the room would put up their hands, if not them all.
Right.
In every single situation.
So they reckon 30 already this year. That's from a population of 40,000.
Which is a huge amount. Yeah. I mean, somebody said once, I think it was Martin, said once that, like, if you look at an All-Ireland final day, 80,000 people file into Croke Park. Like, the whole travel community in Ireland wouldn't half fill.
Yes, Croke Park.
Croke Park.
Yeah. And I mean, imagine 30 of those people and the year isn't over yet.
Yeah, and it's become such a... a frequent occurrence.
And is it on the increase, Thomas?
It is, yeah. There's more traveller women now dying by suicide, you know, whereas it was primarily traveller men. Now it is much more traveller women dying by suicide. And, you know, that's very worrying. I mean, it's worrying the situation that we're in, but...
The National Traveller Survey makes for hugely interesting reading because there's comparisons from... 2017 to the year 2000 and things have changed quite considerably.
Yeah.
So back in the year 2000, when asked how was their life, 26% of travellers considered that life in general to be better.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 2017 said that it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, in a number of different...
Sorry, I read that wrong. Yeah, yeah. Back in 2000, 61% said that their life had improved over the last 5 years. And then in 2017, only 26% said it improved.
Yeah, the improvement, has got less and less. But I mean, it's not only since 2000. I mean, if you look at the study that was carried out in 1987... by a man called Dr. Joe Barry, you find that the statistics, like around traveller life expectancy, were better for travellers than they are now.
Right.
I mean, I think it was 12 years less then for a traveller man. Now it's 15 years less. And that was 1987.
Okay. So what's happening? Like, travellers are less nomadic.
Well, there's a number of reasons for that as well. I mean, of course, the trespass...
But I'm wondering is the fact that they're less nomadic, is that affecting their mental health?
Absolutely, because you're stuck in the place. One, you know, being nomadic, you're not, you were able to move, and it's not even, nomadism is not about moving from A to B. It's a mindset that you're able to move on. Or
it's a choice, is it?
Yeah, well, it's a choice that you can travel, that you can move.
It's self-determination, you have self-determination in
And it was for numerous reasons, you know, in the past, including economic, social, physical and psychological as well. There was, and being with family, you know, an extended family.
So that's one thing that has changed. They feel marginalised. We know that from the research.
Yeah, well, that's there for a very long time. I mean, there's a marginalisation. And, you know, kind of the studies that's been carried out, I mean, Micheál McGrail carried out a study and a number of other people. And they reckon that that marginalisation and discrimination has got worse since the 1970s.
And how is that articulated by people who come to you, for example?
Well, it's in the stress and anxiety. I mean, the thing about nomadism, if you're in a situation where you can't move, where you can't travel now because your caravan will be taken off you within 48 hours. If you don't move, so you can't move. It's a criminal issue now rather than a civil issue, and at the same time, there's local authorities are not building traveller specific accommodation. The discrimination in the rented and private sector, and indeed sometimes in local authority areas, is really hard to get a place to live. So you feel stuck. So you're stuck in a situation that you end up in overcrowded conditions, sometimes with people that you mightn't get on with, and you can't move. You're unemployed.
You're talking about a halting site.
Halting site, okay. You know, kind of in most
so
cases.
So traditionally, if you didn't get on with somebody, you just
could,
move on.
You could move on. It was a way of kind of...
But I suppose, you know, the settled community, for want of a better phrase, we have to live beside people we don't like either sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, if the proper accommodation... And, I mean, you have to take culture into account. And, I mean, it's very important, the whole cultural aspect of this, because, you know, some families didn't live in big groups of people. There wasn't huge groups of travellers living together. Like, it was extended families that lived together traditionally and moved and was nomadic. So the idea of sites, traveller halting sites, people think travellers came up with that idea. It wasn't travellers who came up with that. It was
imposed upon them.
It was the Commission for Itinerancy that came up with sites.
So, education.
Education, yeah. Traditionally, I mean, travellers have been educationally disadvantaged. I mean, but even the travellers who have access to education, the education system has really let travellers down. I mean, I went, well...
But that was, you're a traveller, but is education something that's valued within the traveller community?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, education is highly valued. I mean, you can see that by the number of adults that's come back to education, including myself.
But is that a recent thing, though?
No, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. I remember my mother, for instance, and a number of other travellers, even when they were travelling, they would do everything they could to get their children into the local school, even for a very short period of time. It was very difficult, though, because many schools, and you can talk to others about this as well, many schools wouldn't take travellers in. I mean, there was a case there a couple of years ago. That was only a recent case, but there was a lot of situations. Yes. But the other thing was that travellers who did go to school, when they weren't in school, there was sometimes different play times. There was terrible incidents where you kind of had, a line drawn in the middle of the yard in some schools.
That's all right.
You know, and
so there's discrimination when it comes to education, when it comes to employment, when it comes to social activities.
So you're excluded from...
You're excluded from it. And that obviously impinges on your mental health, which in some cases eventually leads to people taking their own lives.
Absolutely. Well, also, I was at a conference in Donegal last week, and they were looking at alcohol and the connection between alcohol and suicide.
Huge connection.
And binge drinking is connected in some ways to suicide. And if you look at that if you're, for young people and indeed other people, if you're excluded from clubs and public houses and all the rest of it, a lot of younger travellers will get a carry-out. And so it increases
it's a different
the
type
likelihood
of, drinking.
Of binge drinking.
Yes.
And so, you know...
So I'm sorry we don't have more time with you today, but what then, in your chats with the traveller community and the various groups, what do you think the solutions are? Obviously the solutions are going to come from without and within. What are the things that need to be changed?
Well, I think it's kind of that there are factors that need to change within. There's a huge stigma around mental health, huge shame around mental health, and sometimes travellers are reluctant to go for help or to talk to somebody, because there's a shame around it. Okay. Think they've failed themselves, yes, rather than looking at how does these things come about. And if you look at all the stresses, I mean, the stress in everybody's life earlier on, you were talking to a mother.
Yes, the stress,
like the ordinary everyday stress that people have, when that's combined with
been marginalised with all discriminated this other stuff, against, it's
very difficult for people. So so there really is a need for, and the community is moving in this direction, for people to support one another, to go and talk to somebody about it.
And what about masculinity in the travelling community?
Masculinity, well, the travel community is like any other community. There's a diversity of people, like, you know, and again, it's like, you know, sometimes stereotypes don't allow for diversity.
I understand that completely.
But so masculinity is very strong among some men and other men.
Yeah, but I suppose, you know, you talked earlier on about the traveller culture.
Yeah,
and different cultures have different attitudes to masculinity.
Of course, it is. Well, in terms of, like, you know, kind of the roles that the traditional roles that men would have played has been breaking down.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at, you know, kind of, and indeed the women as well, I mean, with the changes that's gone on, like a lot of them roles, each generation as well, kind of in every culture, kind of changes. The culture is not a static thing.
No, culture changes. Yes,
so,
yes.
So the roles has changed, even in terms of ways of making a living.
And that brings pressures.
Traveller economy. Like, you know, as I said, 84% unemployment, okay, you know.
There's been three presentations on this to committees, hasn't there?
There has been two.
One more. There's going to be three, Tuesday, yes. Yeah. So maybe would you come back into us?
Because we only had
10 minutes on that, and it demands and deserves a lot more time.
Yeah, and just the one point I'd say about it, within and without, I mean, it needs to be a collaborative approach between, you know, the traveller community.
Hasn't that been a problem, though, over the years?
It has,
lack of collaboration between the settled community and travelling community.
There's a social distance.
Why, yeah.
And that's when there's a process in academia called othering.
Right.
And one of the elements of that is creating a social distance between the other that's excluded. And that social distance is there and has been there for a very long time. We need to address that.
Is there any lack of trust on the part of the travelling community, of the settled community?
There is, but it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be in the same as the settled community have of travellers.
Yeah.
It's not the same dynamic that goes on. I mean, of course,
it's different.
It'd be more individuals. I mean, you know, kind of, I'm married to a settled woman. I'm sure she might be less than that at the minute, but and a lot of other travellers, but it wouldn't be the same. The mistrust and the fear that the settled community have is sometimes a general mistrust. It's not because an individual does something or that.
It's a stereotypical mistrust.
Absolutely. Yes, and that's keeps that social distance in place.
Okay. Thomas, thanks so much for coming in, and we will talk to you again.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah.